Scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 6. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Amen.
Hey, did you hear that? One of the things that happens during the week is I'll send a PowerPoint to Mike, and then he'll ask me, what's the title? Because I'm just not a very good title person. It always makes me think, though, kind of summarize what I want to say in just a phrase. And so today it's, did you hear that? And I want you to think about that. When someone asks you that question, what has just happened? You heard something, or maybe you didn't. But they heard something, and they're asking, did you hear that? And sometimes it's a sound like it's a warning, like, well, I don't know. I'm just thinking about our place here and mice. And the other day in my house, there was some noise, and I thought, what is that? Did you hear that? And someone else in my house, did you hear that? No, I didn't hear that. I sounded like a mouse. I don't know. But did you hear that? Have you ever heard something from somebody and it was surprising to you and you said, did you hear that? Well, this is kind of where we're going to go today. There's some things about how we hear and what we hear and who we hear that I think Jesus wants to teach us about hearing and how we hear and how especially we listen. Today, we're going to end up talking about Luke 8, and Steve talked to the adult class about next week, you're going to talk about Luke 8 again. We're going to talk about Luke 8 for a little bit, and the idea, I want you to think in the back of your mind, did you hear that? What did he just say? Really? Okay. But we've been at this since January, talking and asking this question, who are you? Right? Who are you? And what are you doing here? And we have an answer back that we say, right? Who are you? And when we say the who are you question, we answer back what? I'm a disciple. And I want to say, really? Because I thought that you were an accountant. Or I thought you were a teacher. You know, Sal, who are you? You know, I'm your sister. Okay. Yeah, I thought you were my sister. You're a disciple. Tell me, really? I thought you were a coach. Who are you? What's your true, deep, real identity? I'm a son of God, or I'm a football coach. Well, I remember when I was a football coach, and the first time, suddenly I wasn't a football coach, and it wasn't by my choice. It's lots easier if it is by your choice that you don't become a football coach anymore. And it was tough because, you know, man, I just didn't know for sure who I was. So who are you? A disciple? Really? Okay, we're going to come back to that. And so as we're going through this discussion today that's going to end up in Luke 8, the question or something that we know from our talk before is a disciple knows what his rabbi knows and does what his rabbi does. This is what a disciple is. So if you say, Kevin, you're a disciple, okay, this is you. You know what Jesus knows. You do what Jesus does, right? This is who we are. This is what we do. And because of that, because it's we know what our rabbi knows and we do what our rabbi does, it's very important that we consider carefully how we listen. We consider carefully how we listen. We're sitting here and we're claiming discipleship. We're claiming that. And so Jesus has a word for you. Be careful how you listen. And I believe as we get into Luke 8, today we're going to take this big, broad overview of Luke 8. Next week in class, Steve's going to dig down a little deeper maybe and have some good discussion like we did in class today about some of the things. And I won't be here, so you can say stuff about what Bob said last week. He said, that is a bunch of bull, you know, and it'd be okay with me because I won't be here. But Sally might tell me. But maybe not. So it's important that we consider carefully how we listen. This is going to be from Luke 18, verse 18 in just a minute. We'll get to that. And it's important that we consider how we listen, that we listen carefully, because we know there's lots of different voices out there. And we know that different sources may tell the same story in a different way. You know, Spurs fans, Mavs fans, you know, they're going to tell the game, how did it go? Well, you know, the refs were great. No, the refs stunk. That's the way we lost the game because of them. Not that it ever happens, Jeremy. But you know, different sources tell the story differently. And what we know about Jesus, his yoke or his story or the way he taught was different than the other religious teachers. He was different. They said, here's the rules. He said, I'm the way. He was different. And so to be his disciple, we are listening to this different way of living life. There's a different way of living life. He told it in a different way. And that's important. And so the Bible says, it compares us sometimes to sheep. We, like sheep or disciples, follow the voice of our shepherd or our rabbi because we know his voice. And this knowing his voice is really important. It goes back to the idea of, did you hear that? Well, did I hear what? Look, Jennifer and Jeremy heard something back there, and so did Jeanette. I don't know. This was not planned. You know, just they're walking out, looking back because they heard something back there, right? Did you hear that? How did you hear? And how do you know it's his voice? We know his voice. And there's this deal these days called voice recognition. You know, they can listen to somebody's voice and determine, is that Jeremy's voice or is that Pam's voice? And most of us in here probably could close our eyes and Pam could start talking and we would probably know that's Pam, right? Probably that could happen. Voice recognition. That's what sheep following their shepherd have. They can recognize his voice. That's what disciples have. They can recognize his voice because they've heard it a lot. And so what we talked about last week is that Jesus, he withdrew to pray. And I believe in these moments, he talked to God and he listened to God. And as we sang that old hymn, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me something. What does he tell me? Amen, isn't that good? He tells me I'm his own, and I'm listening to him, and I recognize that voice. And so Jesus, he goes off by himself, and he sits, and he prays, and he listens, and he hears. And God comes and says, you're mine. Okay? You're mine. And we talked about that, and we put the bad name on it. And you know, one of the things that this is, the surveys, you know, surveys are odd. Sometimes there, if you like the results, you say, this is a great survey. If you don't, you say, this survey stinks. But they do some Christian ones. Gallup does them a lot. And one of the words that is most often associated with prayer is, you might not think this, is guilt. You know why? Because most people, when you bring up prayer, they begin to feel guilty because they don't pray enough. Or they don't pray right, you know, something like this. Isn't that, and that's not at all what God intends, and yet sometimes that's how we take it. And I think especially when we hear the word solitude, man, that really ramps up the guilt factor, because a lot of us, it's hard. What does that even mean? But it's meaning we're going to use it. We're going to try to get in a place where we can listen to God and God alone. And so we're going to practice again. Last week we did this too. We're going to practice again. And it's not, it's just a mini practice. We're going to turn the lights down and we're going to practice just being silent. And I'm going to lead you a little bit, which is not exactly the same as you going off and being just with God, because now you're with God and some of Bob's thoughts. But these are also from Jesus. The thoughts we're going to pray and listen right now has to do with the Lord's Prayer. One of the ways that in our small group, one of the small groups last week, we're talking about praying, the difficulty of sometimes spending time alone with God. And Art was talking about spending time alone with God driving and praying the Lord's Prayer. So back me up on that, Art. Say, yeah. See, yeah, we do that. And what a great way to spend some time in the car is just praying the Lord's Prayer, right? We're going to do that just a little bit. We're just focused on the one phrase in the Lord's Prayer today. But let's just be quiet and just listen. Think, let your thoughts be led here today. I wanted to make a suggestion that I hadn't thought of this before, but this question. What if sometime during the week, this week, you just sat in silence asking God just this question? God, how can you use me to bring your kingdom to earth? Just ask that question, and in silence, listen to God. If you have a Bible, we're going to look at Luke 8, the whole thing. And we're going to take a big overview, like we're taking a look from 30,000 feet up, looking down at Luke 8. Well, maybe not that high. Luke 8, there's some, I think, challenging statements in Luke 8, but maybe we might make some sense out of them today with some context around it. So Luke chapter 8, again, if you have a Bible, that'd be handy. If not, you're just going to have to pretend that, you're going to have to assume, not pretend, but assume that I'm going to tell the truth about what I say. First of all, the first little glimpse there, it describes what I'm going to call his posse. Jesus was traveling around with some people, and he had some women who were taking care of him and the disciples, I guess. And some of them had some money, some of them probably didn't, but they were taking care of him, and they're traveling around. And then it says in verse 4, a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town. Okay, so this is kind of like something that's going from here to there to here. And maybe the crowd is following him from town to town. I don't know. Or maybe this was happening everywhere he went. And then Luke is putting this together as this is kind of the way it was back in the day. You know, Luke's writing this several years, a couple of decades after this actually happened, but this is what happened. When Jesus would go from town to town, this is what he would do. He was going with his group of people, and they would go, and people would come, and they'd listen, and he'd tell them these kind of stories. Well, there's five stories here in Luke. We're going to touch on all five, some a little more than others, and some of them are pretty familiar. And then some of the things that he says are very familiar, and yet, wow, hard to make out what they mean. And so just you're going to follow along with me. And some of you know the stories well. Some of you probably don't know the stories as well. But the stories that we're going to just hit on, I'm going to kind of summarize them and then make some points on each one of the five. And so the first one is the parable of the soil, what it's often known as, and in your Bible, sometimes it has little headings about stuff like that. This one calls it the parable. My Bible says the parable of the sower. Okay. It's interesting. I don't know who named it the parable of the sower, but it wasn't Luke and it wasn't Jesus, but it was the parable of the sower. To me, it's more the parable of the soil, because the soil is the kind of the focus. There's different kinds of soil, and a sower comes and throws out some seed, and in each place the seed sprouts a little bit, and then something happens to it. Sometimes it doesn't even sprout at all because birds steal it. Sometimes it lands on rocky ground. But the people, his disciples, come and say, "What in the world does this mean?" But he uses this phrase before that. He says this to them in verse 8. He said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." And this is rough because it's kind of going back to, he's going to then quote to Isaiah, and it's a rough scripture in Isaiah where it sounds like God's telling Isaiah, Isaiah, you're going to preach for me. This is in Isaiah 6. Isaiah, you're going to preach for me, and the people you're going to preach are going to be more confused, and they're going to not listen. And I'm hoping that's not how that's working today. What's the deal here with these different kinds of soil? And he comes to say, really, bottom line, there's two kinds of listeners. There's two kinds of listeners. One type bears fruit, and the other type doesn't. Okay? And that's me summarizing the parable. Next week, Steve, right, we're going to dive down a little deeper into this. But this is it. There's two kinds of soil. Some soil bears fruit, some doesn't. And yet, he says these are listeners, because as the disciples ask him to explain, he explains it. And in the explanation, all of them have one thing in common. They hear. All of them hear. All the different types of listeners hear. But some of them bear fruit. Lots of them don't. There's two kinds of people who listen. People who bear fruit, people who don't. Okay? That's number one. So, he says, and the next thing in some of your Bibles, it'll have a little paragraph heading that says, a lamp on a lampstand, or a lamp on a stand. And really, this is still the explanation about the soil parable. Okay? He's still right in the middle of explaining what does this mean to his disciples. And what he says is, there's going to be a lamp and no one's going to put it in a jar and says it's going to give light to everything in the house. And when the light's on, your actions are going to be exposed. So one thing, all of our actions are someday going to be exposed. Okay, and he's talking again about hearing. So you've heard. So I got two sisters here in the front row. Okay, one, they both hearing, but one of them is going to do something different than the other. They're going to receive the hearing differently. I'm going to come back to you two sisters in a second. But when the light's on, your lives are going to be exposed. And when our lives are exposed, what we're going to find out is that it's really important how you listen. So he says this first, verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. How do you listen? That's the point. Emily, how do you listen? Michelle, how do you listen? Okay, don't, there's no answer yet. I'll tell you what to do. Okay. And so then he says the craziest thing. Hey, Emily, what you have, you're going to get more. Michelle, what you have, you're going to get, even what you think you have is going to be taken away. What is that about? Doesn't even seem fair, does it? That seems so unfair. Could it be this? And I'm going to just say, could it be? Other scholars are going to decide definitively that what's being taken away and what's being added to them is what they're hearing. You thought you heard, but you didn't do anything about it. So, Emily, you may come every week and sit there and hear, and you think you're going to be fine because I heard what Bob said, blah, blah, once again. And she's going to walk out, and she thought, I heard, but it's going to make no difference in your life. And so that what you just heard is going to be taken away from you. Michelle, on the other hand, she heard, she went out, and she did it. She actually did something about what she heard. She bears fruit. Okay, maybe so, but let's keep going through the other stories. The next story is about Jesus, his family visits. And when his brothers and mom come, they're standing outside, kind of like Steve back there. He's outside. Y'all all know Steve is watching us, right? So we're feeling good about that, feeling safe. I feel safe. Okay. They're outside, and they come say, hey, your mom and your brothers are outside. And Jesus says what seems to be the rude thing. He doesn't go outside to them. And instead, he says this, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Here is the key to this whole chapter over and over. It's who hear God's word and put it into practice. It's the soil that bears fruit. It's the people who hear and they put it into practice. The most important thing about to consider carefully how you listen, Jeremy, is that you will listen and then go do something about it. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to put it into practice. The next story. Jesus goes to sleep in a boat. Their disciples are going across, and it's during a storm. What happens is the disciples panic because Jesus is asleep and there's a storm. They think they're going to drown. Jesus calms the storm, and then here's what they say. Oh my gosh. He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Here's the example Luke's, I think, getting at. Hey, sometimes disciples are knuckleheads. They don't listen. The wind listens. The water listens. And the wind and the water, they put it into practice. They do what he says. What is a disciple? It's a person who knows what the rabbi knows and does what the rabbi does, right? And so this is the wind and the waves, the wind and the water. They listen and they obey, okay? Next story is about they encounter a demon-possessed man. And Jesus tells the demon to leave the man. And the demon does it. The demon does it. Back in Luke 4, this happens several times, by the way, in his ministry. But back in Luke 4, these really important words, and we talked about authority early in this series. What words are these people were saying about Jesus? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. Authority. He spoke with authority, meaning when Jesus speaks, people put it into practice. Only some people don't. All right? That's two kinds of listeners. One bears fruit, one doesn't. The people who are Jesus' family are people who listen and put it into practice, like the winds and the water, like the demons do. Or you might even say, in the last story, and I didn't put this on the PowerPoint, but even death obeys Jesus. The last story in Luke 8 is a story about a woman whose child who's died, and Jesus says, no, she's not dead. It's a man and his wife. Your child's not dead. And he tells basically death, leave. And death leaves. Because the wind and the water and the demons and death, even death, know that when Jesus speaks, their response is to do something. God's word, meaning the words that come from the mouth of Jesus, have authority. And I would circle this on your handout, circle the word authority, because they are good and true words. They come from God. They're good and they're true, and they have authority. And this is a couple of scriptures we're going to look at as we're kind of closing here. But the major point of Luke 8 is this. Did you hear that? Okay, then do it. If you heard it, do it. This is kind of where we've been in class the last couple of weeks. If you heard Jesus say, you need to forgive, forgive. Now then, what we do a lot of times in class or in college, this is where I've been in my last 40 years. You know, I worked in a college. And what happens in college is you get around and talk about things. Sometimes this happens in church probably too. And you talk about it, and you talk about the pros and the cons, and you talk about the advantages and the disadvantages. You talk about obstacles. You do different kinds of things about, you know, opportunities and threats like SWAT. That's all good. But did you talk about it. And then you feel like inside, wow, whew, I've done something. But really you haven't done anything. All we've done is talked about it. Okay? And this is college students all the time, man. They get really fired up and they'll talk good. And then the next thing you know, though, they're going to go out and, you know, lay out by the pool. They had this awesome discussion about poverty. And why we need to do something about poverty. And after they got, they're kind of worked up about it. We ought to do something about that. And then they said, but... And not today. I'm going to Starbucks. Want to meet me there? This is college. I'm sure that's not the way it is with any of us. But God's word is good and it's true, but it's not good and true just to hear it, but to put it into practice. Put it into practice. So, 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in right living, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is one of the most amazing verses, I think, in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. And it's like, what? If you're telling me that everything I need to be equipped for good things is in God's Word? Yes. But it's not just in God's word to read, but it's in God's word to do, to put it into practice. But everything I need, don't I need other kind of training? It's in God's word. Yeah, you probably can use it, but everything you need is in God's word. Now then, if I've read God's word and it doesn't seem like I'm equipped, perhaps it's because I'm not putting into practice. No fruit, not bearing fruit. I'm like that soil that doesn't bear fruit. Everything I need to do every good work. In a little while, we're going to talk about some good works. But everything I need to be equipped to do them, God's given me in His Word. But I've got to put it into practice. Put it into practice. So, last week, we had these mousetraps out. Y'all remember this? Okay. And Sally was walking through, okay? And there was a point where Sally was walking through and she's off balance. And y'all might have noticed, in that example, I was God's Word speaking to her and she was trying to follow. But she got a little tipsy. And so, not tipsy from anything, you know, but, you know, she just got a little off balance, I mean. And Amanda, I don't know if you know, reached out and held her, okay? So in the example I'm calling, Amanda was the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm God's Word speaking to her. Amanda's the Holy Spirit. Well, this is awesome verse in Isaiah. Whether you turn to the right or left, I think this happens to us, by the way, every day. Whether you're going right or left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. God's Spirit in you, making application of what you've read in His Word. I've read this in His Word. I've read this in His Word. But now then I'm out in life. I'm at school or, I'm at Starbucks or wherever. I need some application. And the Holy Spirit's going to say, okay, Pam, you read this in Bible class. It says forgive and turn the other cheek. But I'm nervous. I don't want to get walked on. So how do I do it? And you're going to hear a voice. And it's going to say, this is the way. That's God's Holy Spirit working in you. But still, it's up to you to put it in practice. So one of the scariest verses to me, oh my goodness, what happened there? This was Sally last week. This is what happens when you don't listen well. Or when you don't. So the verse 18, consider carefully how you listen. It means put into practice what you hear. If you hear something, put it into practice. I told Sally to step forward, straight. But she got turned, and she, instead of stepping straight, she turned a little to the left, and pop, that thing went pop. Didn't really hit her toe. It's a fake picture. Nobody needs to say anything bad about me on, you know, social media. But this is what happens when you don't follow. But it's like this. Here's Ezekiel 33. My people come to you as they usually do. And they sit before you and hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. I'm going to read some more of this verse. Verse 31 continues. It says, their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. And here's the example Ezekiel uses. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they don't put them into practice. I don't want to be like that when I come to church here. I don't want to be, we hear the band play, they sing beautiful songs. We've sung some great songs. Man, if we would just live the words to our songs, right? We hear these beautiful words, we hear the song, but we don't put them into practice. Well, today, we're going to be careful. We're going to carefully consider how we listen. And what we hear, let's put it into practice. We're going to sing a song, Life Song. I love this song. At the end of each day, I want to let God sign His name to my day because I have put into practice the things He has instructed me to do in His Word. Let's sing.